Trying to block the cave from the pixie's sight, Jig spotted a patch of mirrored ebony on the ground near the back of the cave. That would be the pool where the fire spiders laid their eggs. He studied the webs. The majority hung near the entrance, which made sense. Few insects would survive to make it deeper into the cave. The only real gap was directly in front of the tunnel, which helped the air flow freely through the cave. That opening gave Jig his only chance. He tensed his legs, drawing them up as much as he could in the confines of the tunnel. His hands gripped the rock to either side.
What is it?
Jig kicked her as hard as he could.
Damn!
Pinny crashed into Farnax. Jig launched himself into the cave. He stayed low to the ground, but his ear tore through one web. Then he caught another with his arm. The fire spiders reacted instinctively, the way fire spiders always reacted to threats. They retreated, igniting their webs as they fled. Jig crawled as fast as he could, flinging himself into the shallow pool, even as his sleeve and hair went up in flames. Jig rolled over and squinted through streaked lenses as the pixies burst into the cave at full speed. Farnax was first through, flying too fast to avoid the webs. His body crashed into the far side of the cave and dropped, completely engulfed. Pinny fared slightly better, only her wings caught fire. She spun and flew back into the tunnel, tumbling to the ground. Jig crawled back out, doing his best to avoid the furious fire spiders and the remains of their webs. Up ahead, Pinny was frantically trying to rip the flaming bits of web from her wings. Jig slid his sword free, holding it ahead of him. Pinny's light brightened when she saw him. Ignoring her smoldering wings, she raised her hands to cast a spell. Jig managed to smack her arms with the flat of the blade. Pinny clutched her arms. Jig crawled closer and pressed the tip of his blade to her chest.
Stop!
Pinny twisted back, breaking part of her burned wing in her desperation to avoid the sword.
Please, keep it away!
Dark burn marks covered her arm and hand where Jig had struck her. Her right wing was mostly intact, but the left was barely half its previous size. The ragged edge glowed orange like an ember. Pinny moved toward Jig. He lunged, but she twisted aside and pointed at him. His sword squirmed in his hand. No, not the sword itself, but the leather wrapped around the hilt. It slithered between Jig's fingers, loosening from the hilt and wrapping around his hand and wrist. He tried to drop the sword, but the leather dug cruelly into his skin, binding his hand in place.
Your blade might be death metal, but the leather is nothing but dead flesh. You betrayed us.
I'm a goblin.
The queen would have honored you for your help. Instead, the last thing you feel will be your own weapon choking the life from your body. You thought this ruse would defeat us? I promise you, goblin, we will destroy every last one of your ilk.
The cord was already coiling around his elbow. Jig shook his hand, trying to fling the sword away.
Wait! I thought you needed me to learn how to use magic in our world!
You would have simplified the process immensely, but we have adapted to other worlds before, and there are always others willing to share their knowledge in exchange for the rewards you've thrown away!
The end of the cord tickled Jig's chin. He twisted his head away, but how was he supposed to avoid his own arm? The leather brushed his neck, reaching, reaching. Jig looked down. Only a single loop of leather remained knotted around the bare wood of the sword hilt. The leather wasn't quite long enough to reach his throat. Pinny realized it at the same time. Jig pulled his hand back, hoping the spell would dissipate with Pinny's death. But the only change was that the end of the cord grew still, stiff as a rock. It jabbed his chin when he turned his head. Jig turned to search for Smudge. So many fire spiders.
Goodbye, Smudge.
Jig backed away from the cave. Smudge was probably safer here anyway. A small, dark shape broke away from the mound of spiders, scurrying toward Jig. He could see it dragging something with its rare legs, something that glowed faintly blue. Jig grinned so hard his cheeks hurt as he set his free hand down for Smudge. The fire spider crawled up to his shoulder pad and began to feast.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. It's been a while since I fed you, hasn't it?
Come to think of it, he hadn't eaten in quite some time either.
Jig turned back around to where Pinny had collapsed. Braff, Grail, and Slash were still waiting where Jig had left them. Jig heard their voices long before he got close enough to see the light of their small fire.
I say we go after the ogres. They're so busy running away with their tails between their legs, they won't notice us tagging along.
Ogres don't have tails.
Oh! All it takes is for one of them to glance back, and they'll squash us like bugs. The way you smell, I'd notice you at 100 paces.
What choice do we have? Head back and ask the pixies to let us through? Beg them not to hurt us? The way you goblins do when you want to pass through hobgoblin territory?
Jig should have let you stay dead when he gets back.
You think Jig's coming back? If he's smart, he ran away like a frightened ogre. If he really tried to fight those pixies, he's probably...
Jig's sword banged against the ground. He had been trying to hold his sword out in front of him, but the blade seemed to grow heavier with every step.
It's me.
What are you doing still alive?
The pixies are dead.
All of them?
No. The two who were following us.
Looks like you had a little trouble with your sword.
How do we know they're really dead? You told us the pixies were controlling Vika and the scarred simpleton here. They...
Hey!
Jig pulled a bundle from inside his shirt and tossed it onto the ground between them.
Here's your proof.
Oh, what's that?
Leftovers.
Braff opened the bundle and stuffed a bit of glowing meat into his mouth. Jig's sword dragged against the ground as he walked toward Grell. His whole arm tingled with every movement, and his fingers were swollen and cold.
Consider yourself lucky. If I hadn't strengthened the vessels and forced your blood to keep flowing through your arm, your fingers would have fallen off by now.
I need to borrow your knife.
Going to carve up what's left for the rest of us?
No.
Grell slapped the handle into Jig's free hand. Sitting down beside the fire, he tried to work the tip of the curved blade beneath the cords on his arm, but the leather wouldn't budge.
Ah!
All he managed to do was slice his skin. He changed tactics, trying to cut the leather where it looped around the hilt. The blade didn't even scratch it. He knew the knife was good. The blood dripping down his arm proved that. Pinny's magic must have hardened the leather. Jig handed the knife back to Grell.
Stupid pixies.
So, how do you propose we get out of here?
The ogre said that stench came from goblin garbage.
I've dealt with some vile messes in my time, but I'm not climbing through that.
Fine. Stay here and wait for the pixies. Braff, Slash?
You want us to climb through goblin filth?
I really don't care.
Jig was too tired to argue. His sword dragged along the ground as he trudged toward the ogre's abandoned cavern. He heard the others fall in behind him. After enduring the difficulties and degradations of climbing up through the goblin's waste pit, Jig and the others found themselves in a small, stuffy cave. They had rigged a crude rope harness to help Grell climb, using scraps of rope scavenged from the abandoned ogre camp. Braff and Slash had both supported some of Grell's weight, leading to numerous complaints from all involved.
At least that oversized rat-eating wizard never made me swim through goblin trash.
Where is Vika, anyway?
I wish I knew.
A heavy door blocked the only way out of the cave. Jig gave it a quick shove, but the door was barred on the outside. The goblin lair had few real doors, since the rock was too hard to work, but there were a few areas deserving of special attention. Jig jabbed his sword tip into the crack at the edge of the frame, trying to reach the bar on the other side, but the blade was too thick. He stared at the sword, remembering the fear on Pinny's face as he shoved his sword at her. She had called it death metal. The blade had left burns on her skin. If all pixies shared her vulnerability, the goblins might have a chance. No, the only reason he had gotten close enough to kill Pinny was because they wanted him alive. The pixies wouldn't make that mistake when they came to wipe out the goblins.
They might not attack right away. The first two pixies to venture out from the protection of their world were killed by a single goblin. They'll be more cautious next time. You might have bought your people a little more time to prepare.
A strong hand shoved Jig aside. Slash pounded on the door.
If you don't let us out of here now, I'll feed your private parts to the tunnel cats.
Slash stepped away, searching the debris-strewn cave.
There has to be something we can use to bash this thing down. If I have to spend another moment immersed in this stench.
You call this a stench? Try changing diapers when the whole nursery comes down with the green squirts. Babies never get sick alone. Once one of them starts dripping and crying, you can bet the rest of them will come down with it in a day or so.
The door opened. Slash started to push past Jig, then noticed the armed goblins gathered around the cave. He moved aside.
Why don't you go first?
As Jig stepped inside, he breathed deeply for the first time in what seemed like forever. The air smelled of muck smoke and the sweat of too many goblins, but compared to the waste pit, this was paradise. If paradise included one very angry goblin chief. Krauk stepped forward, her morning star hanging from one hand. To either side, goblin guards stood with drawn swords. The rest of the lair had gathered at a safe distance.
You've returned. Alive. And you've swapped your ogre for a hobgoblin. Not a wise trade, I think. So tell us, Jig Dragonslayer, what menace so terrified the ogres that they turned to you for help?
Pixies.
Did you say pixies?
They've enslaved or killed most of the ogres. The rest have fled the lower cavern. The pixies are gone to destroy us and the hobgoblins if we don't stop them. We...
Pixies conquering the lower cavern. That's the best story you can invent. How could they have gotten to the ogres without first passing through our tunnels?
They opened a magical gateway into Strom's lair, a portal from their world.
Have you seen this portal?
Not exactly. They were there. They've seen...
You expect us to take the word of a hobgoblin? Or two goblins who failed to carry out their orders?
What orders?
Ow!
Oh, that's right, I forgot. Should I do it now? Ow!
You're lying. Even if these pixies did exist, why should we worry? They'll have to fight through the hobgoblins first.
You rat-eaters think we're gonna do your dirty work.
Wait! You should probably talk to the warriors. You can prepare the lair against the pixies. I wouldn't be much use. I barely escaped. They nearly killed me. Look what they did to my arm.
Jig stepped forward, flourishing his arm so everyone would see the way the leather bindings bit into his skin. As he did, the sheath slipped free, flying from the blade and striking Krauk's shoulder. Jig now stood with a bare blade, pointed directly at the goblin chief.
I wondered when you'd finally summon the courage to challenge me, runt.
Jig backed away. Krauk was stronger, larger, and faster than Jig. He didn't need the warmth coming from Smudger's pouch to tell him he was in trouble.
Help!
Jig, she might be stronger, but you're smarter. You can defeat her.
Right. What was the smart thing to do? That would have been not going on the stupid mission in the first place.
Krauk's Morning Star smashed Jig's sword. He barely dodged the next blow. Jig's sword was knocked downward. He dropped to one knee. Krauk's Morning Star blurred in a circle. Jig's sword was smashed against the floor. He stumbled away.
Your precious god isn't going to save you this time, Jig. See how he scampers? Jig Dragonslayer cowering like a cornered rat. Hit you!
Krauk's foot caught Jig in the shin. He rolled away as the Morning Star struck the floor next to his head.
They'll sing a new song before this day is done. How Krauk the Chief triumphed over Jig the Coward.
Scrambling to his feet, Jig raised his sword.
No, Braff! Attack her now!
A poor choice for a bluff, Jig. Braff lacks the imagination for treachery.
Krauk raised her Morning Star. A wooden hook caught her wrist. She staggered sideways. A powerful jerk of Krauk's arm yanked Grell to the ground. Jig thrust as hard as he could. But the broken tip of his sword skidded off her breastplate. Krauk raised her Morning Star. A yellow hand snaked out to catch her right fang. The other hand seized her by the hair. With a sharp twist, slash broke Kralk's neck. Jig stared at Kralk, who lay twitching on the ground. Then he stared at Grell, who was climbing back to her feet, Braff's hook tooth in one hand. Then he stared at Slash. The hobgoblin was looking around at the stunned goblins with a wary expression that suggested he wasn't sure whether to gloat or run away.
Why did you do that?
No blood this way.
Does this mean the hobgoblin is our new chief?
What's that? Me?
You did kill Kralk.
By now, Braff had retrieved his hook tooth and was walking toward Jig. He nudged Kralk's body with his foot.
That was great! Everything worked out exactly the way you planned it, Jig.
The way I what?
Yeah, Jig knew Kralk would try to kill him, so he made a plan to kill Kralk instead. Grell told me all about it when she borrowed my hook tooth.
Good plan! I guess that means you're chief.
Me?
Kralk's body lay face up, a grimace of rage frozen on her dead face.
I suppose it's too late to heal her so she can be chief again?
Even if she wasn't already dead, how long do you think you'd keep breathing if she could get her hands on you?
How long do you think I'll keep breathing now?
Hey, Jig, if you don't want to claim that malachite necklace, I'll take it.
Grell didn't wait for an answer. She hunched down and began untying the necklace. Braff picked up the Morning Star and handed it to Jig.
Feast! What about the pixies?
You really want to deny this crowd their feast?
Cutting a path through the goblins, Golaka the chef stormed from her kitchen. She stopped when she saw Kralk.
What's going on out here? Who did this?
Every set of eyes turned toward Jig. Golaka shook her spoon.
I've been marinating in a pan full of moles all day, and now you're telling me I've got to throw them out and cook her?
So the hobgoblin opens up some interesting possibilities. I can make skewers, alternate goblin meat with hobgoblin, add sliced mushrooms and rat livers, and garnish the whole thing with fried cockroaches for texture. Hobgoblin, do you drink a lot of alcohol?
Why do you want to know?
It affects the taste of the liver. Oh, doesn't matter. I can always baste you with...
No! No!
What did you say?
Slash! The hobgoblin! I mean, we...
Slash the hobgoblin!
No! The hobgoblin comes with me. I've got something special planned for him, and my pet hasn't eaten in far too long.
Jig scratched Smudge's head and started to walk toward the brass-hinged door on the far side of the cave, only to draw up short when Golaka refused to budge. Eventually, she shrugged and stepped aside.
Bring me the leftovers, Chief. We haven't had hobgoblin jerky in a long time.
You can either follow me, Slash, or you can stay with them.
Do you want us to help carve?
I think I can handle one hobgoblin by myself.
Silently, Slash followed Jig across the lair, glaring at any goblin who dared approach too closely. The bottom of the door scraped the rock as Jig hauled it open. Inside, two muck pits sat to either side of the doorway. One was empty, the other nearly so. The lone flame flickered weakly, but it was enough. Gleaming metal lined the walls, like a miniature version of Straum's old hoard. Swords, spears, knives, as well as more exotic weapons, were all stacked against the walls, some piled atop one another. To one side, a longbow with a broken string sat half buried in a rickety stack of yellow-fletched arrows. A spear so long it barely fit within the cave was propped against the opposite wall.
I've killed one goblin chief today. Do I need to kill a second?
They would have killed you.
Pah! You rat eaters are too cowardly to take on a hobgoblin warrior. They're gonna eat you alive, you know. You're no chief.
I know.
Jig's new quarters were relatively small, and the abundance of weapons made the place feel even more cramped. A mattress made from the skin of a giant bat sat against the far wall. Slash pointed to the floor, where a thin string stretched through a metal loop up to a tripod of battle axes beside the door. The base of the nearest axe was secured to a wooden rod. From the look of it, the axe would swing down to split the skull of anyone who snuck in uninvited.
A 3-year-old hobgoblin could do better. The line's too high. Not only does it catch the light of the muck fires, but it leaves a clear shadow. If nothing else, you're a black in the line.
Slash knelt by the string. He studied the axe briefly. Holding the handle in place, he broke the string with his other hand. Jig examined the room with new respect, not to mention fear. What other surprises had Kralk left behind? Slash squeezed past Jig to examine the mattress. Slash poked the leather in a few spots, then grabbed the edge and lifted the mattress to reveal a thin metal spike affixed to a broad wooden base. Moss flaked out of the hole in the bottom of the mattress where the spike had been.
Some of these are hobgoblin tricks. Poorly done, but I'm guessing your chief had help setting the place up. Another benefit of your precious truce.
Slash sat by the door and dipped his fingers in the empty muck pit. He began to smear the ashen film along the string.
Ah, the first thing we need to do is run the line from the top of the door, where nobody will see it. Those axes are too obvious. Though, if I could mount one up to the ceiling, it might work. That's the first rule of traps. Nobody ever looks up.
Jig sat gingerly on the corner of the mattress, half expecting it to stab him in the backside or trigger an avalanche of sharp rocks. Smudge started to crawl down to explore. Jig snatched him and shoved him into his pouch. Until he knew everything Kralk had done to this place, he wasn't about to let Smudge wander about. The fire spider probably wasn't heavy enough to trigger most traps, but paranoia had kept Jig alive so far. Now that he was chief, paranoia might not be enough.
Why did you do this to me?
What are you talking about? I didn't do anything.
When my sword came unsheathed, you did that. I could feel the magic.
She was going to kill you one way or another.
You've been pushing me ever since Wallen showed up. Why?
You would have preferred to go back to your little temple, to hide all alone while the world goes on without you.
That was unfair. Better than another adventure. I hate this.
I know, but I also know your people would never survive against the pixies. I'm trying to keep you all alive.
No, you didn't know about the pixies. You didn't know anything except that Wallen felt wrong. Oh, you also knew Kralk wanted me killed, and that you would probably use this as a way to get rid of me.
But you're still alive, and Kralk is getting basted as we speak.
Chief, do you know how long most goblin chiefs survive?
Jig, it doesn't...
Less than one day! Usually we go through at least 7 or 8 goblins before one survives long enough to really seize control. You set me up.
What?
You didn't want me to save Walland. You wanted to pit me against Kralk. You wanted me to be chief.
I wanted both. I wanted to know what was happening, and I wanted to help you change things for the goblins. You can lead them, Jig. You can help them be something more. You've already begun to change the goblins who are closest to you. Grell saved your life when Kralk was about to kill you. Doesn't that seem like an odd thing for a goblin to do? Why do you think she did that? Grell saw you go off to fight those pixies. She saw something few have ever seen. Goblin courage.
Lots of goblins run into battles against more powerful enemies.
Goblin stupidity is as common as lice, but you're not stupid. Grell saw that. So did your hobgoblin friend. You saved his life. Look at him sitting there and not killing you. When you defeated those pixies, you inspired them. You showed them they could be something more, something greater.
Jig didn't respond. Instead, he grabbed his numb arm by the wrist, setting the sword across his legs to examine the broken steel.
You know, it's rude to ignore your deity. Forget the pixies, think about your people, living and dying in the dark, trapped in a cramped, smelly cave as they kill one another off. Would you rather live like you did before you faced Strahm, scurrying about on muck duty and hoping the bigger goblins didn't try to unclog the privy with your head?
What happened to light caves?
What do you want, Jig? You're chief now. You're responsible for what happens to the goblins. What do you want?
Stuffed snakeskins and cluck beer.
What?
Slash held several crossbow quarrels between the fingers of his right hand and a length of copper wire in his left. A steel tool like a tiny flat-tipped dagger protruded from his mouth.
That's what I want. And now that I'm chief, I should be able to get it.
Jig headed for the door.
You can't run away from this, Jig. You have a responsibility to your people.
Can't you see I'm busy? Besides, if I order them to do anything before they've had their feast, they'll throw me onto the fire alongside Kralk.
As he thought about the pixies, wondering how he could possibly lead the goblins against them, he couldn't help wondering if maybe Kralk had been the lucky one. Jig stood in the main cavern, burping up snake and watching the satiated goblins. Jig's sheath once again covered his sword, but with the blade broken, the end of the sheath flopped limply along the ground. He had already stepped on the end twice, nearly tripping himself as he walked. His clothes had been so saturated with blood and filth that there was nothing to do but burn them. Even his favorite boots were scuffed and scratched. The pixies would pay for that. Unfortunately, most of Kralk's clothes were ridiculously large on Jig's scrawny frame. Given the choice of raiding Kralk's wardrobe or facing the lair naked, Jig had chosen the ridiculous. His belt cinched garish yellow trousers that ballooned over his thighs. He had also picked out a red vest with silver tassels. On Kralk, those tassels would have hung just below her waist. On Jig, they tickled the tops of his knees when he walked.
Well?
Jig hadn't noticed Grell sidling up to his right. Braff followed close behind her, rubbing his stomach.
They're waiting for you to tell them what to do. They know things aren't right. They may not have seen the pixies, but they know the air is colder, and they see how restless the snakes and bugs have been. One of the guards says a rock serpent attacked his muck lantern, and Topan swears he saw a giant bat flapping around over the lake a few days ago. There have been more carrion worms crawling around the tunnels, too.
Which you would have known if you didn't spend all of your time in your temple.
Slash stepped out of Kralk's... out of Jig's quarters.
The tunnel cats have been pretty restless lately, come to think of it. Oh, by the way, don't push your door open more than 45 degrees. And you should probably let someone else light that muck pit from now on.
Jig wondered if he would ever have the courage to set foot in that room again. Shadow Star was right, though. They had to do something about the pixies. The longer they waited, the more time the pixies would have to adapt to this world. Jig stepped away from the wall to address the goblins. His throat went dry. It looked as though every single goblin in the whole mountain was here, smirking and waiting for him to speak. So many goblins, all staring at him. Wait, all the goblins?
Who's on guard duty?
A pair of well-fed, belching goblins near the back raised their hands.
I told you the pixies were going to try to kill us. Don't you think someone should guard the lair?
The guards nodded, but made no movement to return to their posts.
Oh, aye. Someone should.
Don't ask them. Tell them you're the chief.
Both guards waited, silently daring him to utter an order.
Fine. Leave the lair unguarded. I'm sure the pixies will appreciate it when they send their ogre slaves to slaughter us. When the ogres start tearing you apart and the pixies are disemboweling you with their magic, remember, it was those two goblins who let them stroll right into the lair.
Finally, the attention of the goblins shifted away from Jig.
We're gone.
The guards started leaving, shooting hateful looks in Jig's direction. They didn't make it out of the lair. The sound announced the arrival of a group of armed hobgoblins. Two tunnel cats strained to break free of braided leather harnesses, nearly pulling their hobgoblin keeper off his feet. The largest of the hobgoblins addressed the crowd.
Where is Jig Dragonslayer?
And that brought the attention right back to Jig. He didn't get the chance to speak before the hobgoblins were making their way toward him, tunnel cats snapping at anyone who failed to get out of the way.
All right now, settle down, you mangy, flea-bitten bastards, no. Calm down! Shut up! Our chief wants a word with you, goblin.
Another of the hobgoblins stared.
Hey, Charak, what are you doing with these rat-eaters?
Charak? They were looking at Slash. From the look of things, he had been trying to disappear into the shadows.
Chief's going to want to see you too. He's going to be real happy when he finds out you're still alive. Now, where's Kralk? He told us to bring back the goblin chief too.
I'm the chief.
Makes our job easier, I guess. Come with us, rat eater.
You can't come in here and give Jig orders. He's the chief. You're lucky he doesn't slay every last one of you hobgoblins.
Prav?
What?
I'm the chief now, right?
Yes.
So you have to do what I say?
Yes.
Good.
Shut up.
Jig studied the hobgoblins. 2 tunnel cats and 5 warriors to escort a few goblins. The hobgoblin chief was serious. Still, if the whole lair attacked together, they would overwhelm the hobgoblins. Judging from the nasty smiles beginning to spread through the crowd, the goblins had figured that out too. What they hadn't figured out was what the rest of the hobgoblins would do in reprisal. The last thing Jig needed was to have hobgoblins screaming through the lair on a vengeance raid when he was trying to worry about pixies. He could only manage 1 war at a time. Actually, he doubted he could manage even 1.
Braff and Grell, I want you to come with us to the hobgoblin lair. The rest of you, keep the muck pits filled and burning. And could somebody please make sure we get a guard at the entrance?
Why us?
Because I'm chief and I said so.
Jig tried to look on the bright side as he followed his escort out of the lair. If the hobgoblins killed him, at least he wouldn't have to worry about the pixies. When they reached the hobgoblin lair, Jig saw that the number of guards had doubled. 4 hobgoblins stood in a rough square at the junction of the tunnels. Lanterns hung from both ears of the glass statue. Braff puffed his chest and opened his mouth. Jig smacked him with his sheathed sword.
Hey!
No weapons.
One of the hobgoblins caught Jig's wrist. Another hobgoblin yanked Graf's hook tooth away. Jig's arm was so numb he could barely feel the fingers digging into his skin. The hobgoblin grabbed the crossguard and gave it a quick yank.
Ah!
Try cutting it off.
I already did. The leather is enchanted. Cursed, really. It's too strong to cut.
I didn't mean the cord.
He drew a short, flat-tipped sword from his belt. The blade was only sharp on one side, an obvious chopping weapon.
Go on, cut it off. Course, then you'll have to explain why a guest bled to death before he could talk to your chief.
Draw steel, and you'll wish I'd killed you, goblin.
Strong hands dragged Jig through the open archway. They pushed Slash after him.
Make sure he doesn't step in anything.
Grell and Braff followed, probably assuming they were safer with Jig than out here with cranky hobgoblin guards. One of the tunnel cats stayed behind. A few paces into the tunnel, the hobgoblins pressed themselves to the walls as they walked.
Pit prep.
Slash shoved Jig against a wall. Grell did the same to Braff, who, despite Slash's warning, had almost walked right into the trap.
Fall in there, and the goblins will have to find someone else to play chief.
What's down there?
Used to be a pair of giant carrion worms. A group of adventurers fell into the pit and slaughtered them. Do you have any idea how long it takes to breed and raise giant worms? The chief decided rusty spikes at the bottom would be faster and easier. Not as much fun, though.
Oh, I see.
A few paces later, Slash pushed Jig again.
See that stain on the ground?
Jig stared. The ground was dusty rock, the same as the rest of the tunnels. Squinting, he could just make out a faint discoloration in the dirt where Slash was pointing.
We spread a mix of blood, rock serpent venom, and diluted honey there. The venom keeps the blood from clotting, and the honey makes it stick to whoever steps in it. Tunnel cats love the stuff. Step inside the lair wearing that scent, and they'll be on you before you can draw your sword.
Indeed, even as Slash explained, the tunnel cat tugged its leash, trying to reach the dried stain. The hobgoblin kicked the cat in the side. The cat didn't attack. That was a well-trained animal. Jig wondered if the hobgoblins would be willing to train the goblin guards. Before Jig could say anything, Slash hauled him to one side. This time it was a scattering of tiny metal spikes resting on the ground.
They're so small.
And they're coated in lizardfish toxin.
Oh.
Jig stared at the hobgoblins with newfound respect. If he tried to set such traps to protect the goblin lair, half the goblins would be dead within a week.
Hey, watch your step.
Jig stopped, fully expecting to be shot, poisoned, crushed, or maybe all three at the same time.
What is it now?
Slash pointed to a pile of brown, slimy goo in the center of the tunnel.
Hairball.
Eventually, the tunnel opened into a broad cavern, similar in size to the goblin's lair. But the hobgoblins had carved out a very different home for themselves. For one thing, instead of using muck pits in the floor, the hobgoblins hung wide metal muck bowls from large tripods, so the light came from overhead. Jig could see the children working throughout the cavern. A few near the entrance scraped lichen from the walls by one of the lanterns, while a boy farther in helped butcher a pile of lizard fish. Jig even saw a baby hobgoblin slung to the back of a female. He grimaced. The baby had wrinkly yellow skin, green toothless gums, and a misshapen skull.
Hobgoblin babies are ugly.
Ugh! You weren't exactly pleasant to look at yourself.
The female with the baby noticed them staring and bared her teeth in a scowl before ducking behind a large painted screen mounted on a wooden frame. Similar screens were set throughout the cavern, partitioning the space into smaller chambers. Crude paintings decorated most of the screens. They seemed to tell stories of hobgoblin triumphs, whether it was a single hobgoblin leading a troll into an ambush or a group tossing goblins into a pit full of tunnel cats. The guards led Jig and the others toward the rear of the cave. So many hobgoblins. Men and women, young and old, armed and... well, they were all armed. And they all looked angry.
What happened?
That's for the chief to explain.
No, that's for him to explain to the chief.
The chief was an older hobgoblin, sitting on a much-abused cushion near the back of the cavern. His thinning hair was bound into a dirty white braid. Screens to either side created a smaller, artificial cave. Another frame stood in front, but the screen had been rolled up and tied overhead, opening the small chamber to the rest of the cavern. The hobgoblin chief rose, ducking past the wooden frame to stand in front of Jig and the others. A long, wavy sword hung on his hip. The cast bronze head of a hobgoblin warrior capped the hilt, and the crosspiece was a pair of long, barbed spikes. Jig had seen the sword once before, when he and the chief had negotiated the truce between goblins and hobgoblins. According to hobgoblin lore, whoever held that sword commanded all hobgoblins.
Hello, Jig. I said I wanted to speak to the goblin chief, too.
That's me.
I see. About time someone killed that overbearing coward cloak. Ah, Charak. The others tell me you let a goblin out with you. A fat female, one who claimed to be a wizard of some sort. They say she humiliated you and led you away, slinking like a cat who's been beaten once too often.
Doesn't matter anymore. The stupid rat eater went and got herself enchanted by pixies.
Pixies? What are you talking about?
As fast as he could, Jig stepped forward to explain about the pixies and their conquest of the ogres. He told the chief how they had fled to the necromancer's pit and how the steel of his blade seemed to have broken the spell on Slash. He pointed to Braff and Grell.
Ask them. They've all seen the pixies and what they can do.
So, Charak, not only does a mere goblin get the best of you, but you let yourself fall prey to a fairy spell? I should probably kill you now and save us all the trouble. Falling in battle against an invading army I could forgive, but letting a goblin get the better of you? And now she returns.
You have Vika?
Not exactly. Your goblin wizard killed 9 of my men. She refuses to let anyone get to the lake. If we can't get down to hunt in the caverns below, we'll be reduced to scavenging for bugs and rats. Living like goblins, in other words. She tells me she'll let us through if we present her with Jig Dragonslayer.
You can't. She'll turn me over to the pixies and they'll kill me. If I die, the truce between goblins and hobgoblins ends today. The truce and everything that came with it. The same goes if you kill my companions, even him.
Vika told us she wanted Jig Dragonslayer. She never specified how she wanted him delivered.
The hobgoblins guarding the entrance to the lair appeared to be quite surprised to see Jig and the others alive. Braff reclaimed his weapon.
Give me that.
What happened?
We're going to kill Vika.
I don't suppose any of you mighty warriors know how we're going to accomplish that?
Nobody answered. Slash grabbed one of the muck lanterns, but Jig shook his head.
No light. We don't want it to see us coming.
As the light dimmed toward blackness, Slash stepped closer.
Why didn't he kill you?
Who?
The chief. You defied him, and he let you live.
A good thing, too. You hobgoblins need to treat us with a bit more respect, or else... Oh!
Because of the truce. No, it's true. He's afraid that if I die, he'll lose what he got out of the deal.
I've always wondered about that. A lot of us have. What possible reason could you give us to leave your rat-eaters alone?
He was sitting on his cushion when we arrived, right? Before the truce, when was the last time you saw him sit?
He didn't. He was always up and moving, training the warriors, inspecting traps, overseeing the cat's handlers. He's chief. He doesn't have time to...
He couldn't sit. He had an injury. I healed it. Not an experience I'd choose to repeat.
What? You mean this whole truce was nothing but a reward for you healing a hobgoblin's ugly behind?
What did you think, Braff? That I threatened him? That I stomped through the hobgoblin lair and told their chief I'd bring the full wrath of the goblins to bear if they didn't stop killing us?
Well, yeah.
Jig shook his head. How in the world had Braff survived to adulthood? The smell of water told Jig they were close, as did the sudden flare of warmth from Smudge. Faint light shone from the beach ahead. Pixies? Jig hoped not. The hobgoblin chief hadn't known about the pixies, which suggested Vika was alone.
Hello, Jig! I knew you're there! You and your three companions! Why don't you come out and meet my new friends?
So much for Vika being alone. How could she know they were coming? They had been as quiet as tunnel cats stalking their prey. Vika couldn't have heard them. Jig backed away. He had only gone a few steps when Smudge grew warmer. Had Smudge only now recognized the danger? Jig was moving away from Vika. That should be safer. Jig ripped a handful of frayed threads from the bottom of his vest. Putting the threads in his mouth, he reached up to move Smudge to his shoulder. Once the fire spider was crouched on his leather pad, Jig twisted the ends of the threads together and reached up to poke Smudge from behind. The threads burst into flame.
8 eyes and I can still scare you.
In the faint, dimming light, Jig could see Grell, Braff, and Slash standing behind him, weapons drawn.
No light! We don't want her to see us coming!
Here.
Grell held out a rag. She touched one corner to the dying flame, and the tunnel brightened.
What is that?
Another diaper. Useful things, really. Don't worry, it should be clean.
Grell knotted the burning diaper around the end of Jig's sword. Mold covered the tunnel walls, thriving in the damp lake air. Jig saw nothing out of the ordinary, aside from himself and his companions. Maybe Smudge was getting jumpy in his old age. Considering everything they had been through together, Jig could certainly understand that. He took another step back.
What's wrong, Jig? Running away won't save ya!
It always worked before.
Vika could see every move they made.
That's not fair.
Jig turned toward the others. As he did, a shadow overhead caught his attention. No, 3 shadows.
Good, Fire Spider.
Clinging to minuscule irregularities in the obsidian, 3 lizardfish watched Jig from the ceiling. They were so still they could have been part of the rock, save for a slight quiver in the closest lizardfish's tail.
First rule of traps, nobody ever looks up.
Jig tried to watch them without moving his head or giving Vika any indication that he had discovered her spies. He stepped toward Slash, a move that brought him almost directly underneath the lizardfish. The tails of the other two began to twitch now. Jig recognized that motion. They tensed their muscles like that right before they lashed out with those poisonous spines. Why hadn't they struck when Jig and the others passed underneath the first time? Something must have held them back. The same power that had driven them from the comfort of their lake, pushing them beyond the damp sand and onto hated rock. Vika. Jig locked eyes with Slash, hoping the hobgoblin would understand. Slowly and deliberately, Jig turned his eyes upward.
Look out! Lizard fish!
Jig thrust his sword at the closest lizard fish. His sword clanged into the ceiling, still sheathed, but the flaming diaper drove the lizard fish back. They circled around, their tiny legs scrambling in unison. How could they cling upside down like that? Then he remembered Vika's levitation spell back at the bottomless pit. She must have been practicing. A rock cracked off the ceiling, and one of the lizard fish fell. It wasn't dead, but its body bent sharply in the middle, and the tail was still. Jig leaped back as the other two lizard fish dropped to the ground to attack. One landed on its back, while the other scurried after Slash. Jig saw Grell crushing the inverted lizard fish with her cane. Slash was still unarmed, and he leaped out of the way as the lizard fish charged. He grabbed Broth by one arm. Slash kicked the back of the goblin's knees and flung him to the ground. Broth landed on his back, directly on top of the attacking lizard fish. As Broth scrambled to his feet, Jig could see the squished lizard fish still stuck to the wooden shield strapped to Broth's back. Grell finished off the first lizard fish, the one with the broken back.
Who threw that rock?
Oh, that was me. I've always been good with rocks.
You've always...
Oh. Jig stepped away, shaking his head in disbelief. He waved his light around the floor until he found the stone Broth had thrown. Tucking it into his shirt, he wandered farther down the tunnel, collecting a few more. He came back and dumped the rocks into Broth's hands. Without a word, he snatched the hook tooth away and handed it to Slash. This time, there were no taunts from Vika as Jig approached the lake with the others following behind. Jig peeked around the edge of the tunnel and nearly wet himself. Hundreds of lizard fish waited on the beach. Vika must have emptied the entire lake to amass so many. They stood facing the tunnel, each one about an arm's length from the next. Aside from the occasional flicking of a tongue, they were absolutely motionless. Then they spotted Jig. Each and every head turned in unison. Broth tugged Jig's arm.
I think I'm going to need more rocks.
Vika herself sat atop the tunnel that led into the lake. The edges of her cloak trailed along the surface of the water. Her eyes were closed, but she was smiling at Jig.
I knew those pixies wouldn't capture you. The end of the path brings the hero to her final fateful trial. I should have known Destiny's decree would bring us together for this climactic confrontation. You've thwarted me at every pass, Jig Dragonslayer, mocking my efforts to master the mysteries of magic.
Jig turned his attention back to the beach, particularly to the hobgoblin corpses scattered among the lizardfish. He counted 8 or 9, most of which had died within a few steps of leaving the tunnel. A few dead lizardfish lay beside them.
What we need is about 100 more hobgoblins.
Don't worry, I can get her.
Before Jig could react, Broth stepped into the open. He flung one of his rocks. It arced through the air, directly toward Vika's head. The rock slowed as it neared, coming to a halt just before it hit Vika's forehead. Without opening her eyes, Vika reached out to tap the rock with her finger. It reversed direction, picking up every bit of speed it had lost and more. Jig ducked. The rock slammed into Broth's stomach, knocking him onto his back.
Nice try!
We should run. Her magic is too strong.
Don't you have magic of your own?
She's using wizard magic. I only have priest magic.
What are you talking about?
I can't do wizardly things like Vika. I can only...
Magic is magic. The universe doesn't divide its mysteries into priest magic and wizard magic any more than you divide the air down there into goblin air and hobgoblin air.
Wait, does that mean I'm a wizard? But I have a sword, and I don't have a staff or a beard or long robes or...
You're as bad as Vika, you know that?
So why can't I use magic to make those lizard fish turn on Vika?
That kind of magic takes years of study and discipline. Years of study and discipline, while getting possessed by pixies.
Can you help me fight her magic or not?
You'll need time to learn and practice that style of magic. Ask Vika to meet you back here in about a year or so.
I can't fight her magically!
Jig stared at the beach. He studied the lizard fish more closely. Even the twitching of their tails was synchronized, just like the three that had been spying in the tunnel. The only time that had changed was when the lizard fish dropped from the ceiling and their instincts had taken over. Free of Vika's control, they might have fled for the comfort of the beach. How much power did Vika need to control all those lizard fish?
We have to go out there.
If you don't want to be chief, there are easier ways to quit.
all the hobgoblins charge straight through the middle. We need to split her focus. I don't think she can send them against us all at the same time.
So you're saying only some of us will get killed?
Surrender to me, Jig. Come with me and your companions will survive. The pixies will spare you all, but only if Jig gives himself up.
Sounds good to me.
Wait!
Jig waved his sword at them. The flaming direbird dropped to the ground.
She's lying. Remember what Truckle said? The pixies want us all dead.
Truckle said they wanted all of the ogres dead. Who can blame them?
Brav, think about it. If she gives me to the pixies, who's going to help you the next time you get a fang rammed up your nose? And you, hobgoblin, I guess this means you'll be heading back to your chief to tell him how one goblin female was too much for you to handle. Vika's been getting the better of you since she first laid eyes on you. Help me, Grell, and when we get back, I'll take you off nursery duty forever. You'll never wipe another goblin butt as long as you live. You really think Vika and the pixies will just go away and leave you all in peace if you give me to her?
I've been patient with you until now. It's time to make your choice.
I never hear the end of it.
Do you really think this will work?
Of course.
Liar. Well, what you all waiting for?
Vika kept her eyes closed, seeing through the eyes of the lizard fish and struggling to merge it all into a single coherent image. Her lizard fish weren't miniature goblins to command. The more she tried to control their every movement, the clumsier they became. One of the hobgoblins had crossed half of the beach before she realized she could let the lizard fish's own instincts take over, keeping only enough control to aim them at the appropriate prey.
How much longer? Be patient. Jig will be out soon, one way or another. The others have a choice between their lives and his. I have no doubt what they will choose. Once Jig realizes he's out of options, he'll be ours. Well, at least send a few more lizard fish into the tunnel. Jig will come to me.
As if he had heard her, Jig stepped out of the tunnel. He had his sword drawn, but he didn't seem to be attacking the lizard fish. The broken tip of his blade hung by his ankle. Behind him, Slash poked a weapon toward Jig's back, urging him onward. The hobgoblin was supposed to be dead. Jig must have healed him. Grell held a makeshift lantern of some sort that burned with a foul black smoke. Braff stood on Jig's other side, seemingly empty-handed.
Go back! Tell your people not to resist, and the pixies may let you live!
Right, I'll pass that along.
Not you!
Jig stopped at the edge of the sand, his eyes fixed on the closest lizard fish.
Fear not, Jig Dragonslayer. They obey my will and mine alone.
To demonstrate, she commanded those lizard fish nearest Jig to move aside, opening a path for him.
Vika, do you really believe the pixies will let us live?
They want this mountain. Whether we're dead or departed doesn't matter. The strongest will rule this place. Isn't that the way it's always been? Before it was Straum and the Necromancer who commanded the bulk of the mountain. The pixies are even more powerful, and they've chosen this place as their own.
Vika could see Jig shaking as he stepped forward past the hungry lizard fish. Vika gritted her teeth as she continued to clear his way. Would it kill him to walk a little faster?
Drop your weapon!
I wish I could!
Jig struggled to raise his sword arm. Now Vika could see how leather ties secured the sword to his hand and arm. The skin had turned purple where it bulged between the cords. When he was halfway across the beach, Vika raised her hand.
That's far enough, Jig Dragonslayer. From this point onward, you shall submit to my will.
Vika stilled the lizard fish and opened her eyes, focusing on Jig alone. Controlling lizard fish was one thing. This would be her first attempt at controlling another intelligent being.
Look out!
Snixley yanked her to one side, nearly dumping her in the lake. A stone grazed her head, bouncing off the top of the tunnel before splashing into the water. Vika recovered to see Jig running as fast as he could, his sword dragging through the sand. She drew herself to her feet. Her vision erupted into rippling, blinding light. No, not her vision, but that of her lizard fish. One segment of her sight now burned with orange fire, rippling through her composite view of the beach as the burning lizard fish frantically tried to escape the flames. She severed the spell, binding her to that lizard fish, then turned to see what had happened. Grell! She had flung a rag of some sort onto the lizard fish. Trapped by Vika's spell, the lizard fish were unable to dodge. Another segment of her vision exploded into flame. Vika cut that lizard fish free, then commanded the others to surge forward. Yet another layer of her sight began to spin and whirl. Slash had crept out of the tunnel and was using the hook end of his weapon to fling the lizard fish into the air. Another lizard fish died as a rock smashed its skull. Raph was throwing rocks again, aiming for the lizard fish nearest Jig. Vika tried to intercept the next stone with magic, but Grell lit a third lizard fish on fire, and Slash was still flinging them to and fro. Much more, and Vika would lose the contents of her stomach. Enough of this. She relaxed her control over those lizard fish closest to their attackers. Some immediately scurried for the water, but others were too close to Slash and the goblins.
Look out!
As the lizard fish broke formation, Braff began throwing rocks at the lizard fish racing toward Grell.
Now we help them.
Seizing control of her arms, Snixley moved her through a quick binding, then cast a levitation spell. The spell ripped the hook tooth from Slash's hands and sent it flying point first toward Braff.
Watch out!
Braff ducked, and the point of the hook tooth splintered against the wall.
Drat! It doesn't matter! Concentrate on Jig.
Jig ran at top speed. Vika strode toward the front edge of the tunnel where it rose out of the lake. Here atop the arching stone, she had the advantage of height. She cast another levitation spell, lifting one of the lizard fish and floating its spine first toward Jig's back. She would plunge those spines into Jig's neck as he climbed. A rock smashed the lizard fish aside. Braff! Jig was almost upon her. She braced herself, releasing the rest of the lizard fish as she prepared to strike. Jig ran straight into the tunnel. He hadn't even stopped to fight her. He was fleeing to the necromancer's domain. She stepped to the edge.
What are you doing? The necromancer's home was a maze of tunnels. Jig could disappear in there for days and we'd never find him. You promised me, Jig Dragonslayer. Relax, we'll get him.
A wave of her hand cleared the lizard fish from the tunnel mouth. Another spell gathered the flaming rags from the sand, summoning them to Vika. Jig might be fast, but he couldn't have reached the end of the tunnel yet. Her magic compressed the rags into a single ball as she prepared to fire the flames into the tunnel. With the fire hovering over her hand, she jumped to the sand below. Jig's broken sword took Vika in the chest. Jig could hear lizard fish splashing into the lake. Through watering eyes, she saw Grell come up beside Jig, carefully carrying a burning lizard fish for light.
Help me get her on her side!
Grell was no use, but Vika felt a large boot slide beneath her shoulder, kicking her to one side.
Thanks, Slash.
Jig braced his feet on Vika's chest and yanked the sword out.
Ouch!
And she passed out.